Welcome to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Hassan Batts, your host, and I'm in the studio with P.A. Bucks, man. Welcome, Bucks. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Bucks, man, you are a rapper, you are a father, you are a community leader, or is it a rapper or a hip-hop artist? Because I know there's some...
I would say an artist, rapper. Okay. That's like my, you know, my main go-to, but all around.
And what does that mean to be a rapper?
Really just to express, like, you know, the things we go through, things we seen, our emotions. I would just say like that inner self, you know, that voice that talked to you.
Okay. Now, when you say that, right, you might think, why would I ask it? But many of our listeners are not familiar with rap music, are not familiar with our communities. You are here because you are from the community.
Right.
You represent the community. When you say you're a community leader, you're someone that a lot of people look up to, that I look up to, and appreciate the work that you do. So I want you to talk about, what are some of the issues that we see across our community? How did you get here? Who are you? Like, give us the 101, right?
Right. So how I got here as far as, like, what, my job title today?
Your life.
The
story of Bucks.
Well, I was born down south, North Carolina, and I was raised in Allentown, PA.
So where's home?
Home is both, honestly. Okay. I can say both. Okay. I'm more comfortable here because I'm used to just being able to rip and run through the city.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go down south, it's home as well too. It's like the roots. You know what I mean? My aunts and mostly, you know, me and some of my closest cousins, they're all still down there.
South.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's you like spend summers down there or something?
Yeah. Family reunions, all kind of things. Yeah.
So go ahead, finish telling us your story.
So yeah, man, just growing up, you know, I caught the one that blew through most people's door, you know, when my mom had an addiction. My father, you know, he was in and out. I can't say that he wasn't present, but it was just like split times, you know, while I would see him here and there. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, like the struggle we all come across. My mother was sick. She had lupus. So I spent a lot of my time just watching her go through the addiction and then in and out the hospital.
That must have made the lupus harder. And vice versa, right? Like made the addiction harder and made the lupus harder.
Right, right. And, you know, it was times where she said this... you know, running to that drug made the pain, you know, less, you know, severe.
Like
ease it was, yeah, eased it a little bit. Like, yeah. You know, run away from the pain and things like that. But growing up, I had a big supportive family. You know, my grandmother, my aunt. So I can't say that, you know, the love wasn't there. Like at home, my household, it wasn't right.
But you had extended households.
I had extended households where I could be saved. You know, like my household was just like it was. I remember when my cousins used to come up and I would ask for them to sleep over and it was always like a no. We always end up going to my aunt's house. Like,
they weren't allowed to
sleep over. No.
So everybody knew.
And yeah, as a kid, yeah. I would just be like.
You didn't understand.
Yeah, because I knew when we get over there, we out, we running around, we going to have a ball. But my aunts and them, they knew, like, I ain't going over there. It ain't right.
Now, before we go deeper into your story, I want to speak to something you said. You said something that blew through your house and you kind of generalized it, like the whole community experiences it.
Yeah, because growing up, it was a group of us where all our mothers got high.
Mm.
It was like it was normal. Like our mothers really they was getting high. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the only thing we had to do was just avoid their presence when we was out doing whatever we was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But so
drugs has kind of ravished the community that you grew up in.
Yeah, most definitely. Crack cocaine.
Crack specifically
was ridiculous. Yeah, you'd be 12 years old and if you had that 20 that somebody needed, they gonna get it from you.
Yeah, whatever it took.
It was easy. It was like selling a bottle of water at a basketball festival in 90-degree weather. You know what I mean?
It was so prevalent.
That's just what was going on.
And how did that impact your thinking and your life? I mean, because you're talking about your mother, right? So we understand the impact that crack had on the individuals that were struggling with it and using it, right? But oftentimes we don't talk a lot about the impact it had on the kids that were watching.
Yeah.
In terms of our mentalities, I mean.
It's just what's in front of you. When you're paying attention to it, you look at it how easy it is. You like, now all I got to do is get some crack and I can sell it. So that's all we knew. We was around was to get some work, get rid of it, get the Hamilton, get some clothes, some sneakers. That's just what it was.
That's the story.
We didn't have that mentor, that father, you know, somebody there giving us that structure. It wasn't none of that. It was a free fall. We was driving at 13, 14. Like, these are real facts.
It was a whole economy, a whole lifestyle.
It was just you give somebody that had an addiction some work for their car, and when we on the road.
And they give you the keys.
And they give us the keys.
Yeah, my first arrest was at 11 years old, man. They charged us with a stolen car, but it was just that, right?
Yeah.
You get a work to them, they're going to give you the car.
They're going to give you the car.
It's not stolen, but once you get caught, yeah, they got to say.
Once you get caught, they got to say it's stolen and things like that. Yeah. And we used to take whatever, even if the car was, I remember we probably had 2-3 stolen cars. We just didn't care.
And you're talking about young.
Young. We 14, 13 years, 15. Yeah. And just if the car drove, we wanted it.
So someone told me once, they said that if you're raised in Idaho, you sell potatoes. Hmm. Right? Like if you come from a family where your father's a painter, you go into the painting business, you know? Or you think back to the movie American Gangster. Remember when his mother said to you, if you were a baseball player, all of your brothers would have been baseball players.
Right.
But you chose to do this.
Yeah, they're looking after you.
They're looking after you. So you're saying you came up in conditions and in a community where that's what you were exposed to.
Right.
And you made some choices that reflected it.
Yeah, definitely. It was easy. And then not only that, as you get older, right, when you get to 16, 17.
That's older in our community.
Yeah.
In some communities, that's a child,
that's
still bro.
Young. Yeah.
You said it like it's an OG.
Right. Yeah. When you get 16, 17, you know, you now what happens is your mom's friends that she was getting high with, they become your clientele. Like, you know all the smokers. You know, so like you become like a magnet to like clientele.
Because everybody
know you. Oh, yeah. My God, that's little.
Yeah.
You working? Yeah. Yeah, I'm working. And it's like caught because you see, I've been around smokers my whole life. You know, from my cousin's house to one of my friend's house, they all getting that. We just, yeah. Wow. So that's what goes on and it can happen either way. It can happen when you come. Probably let's go 3-4 years ago. Youngest that was 10-11, growing up around a lot of these dudes now that are just like, you know, shooters or whatever they call themselves. We got a whole bunch of kids that run around. They just want to shoot everything.
Just violence.
Yeah, they want to shoot everything.
And you're saying that comes from being exposed to
that
violence.
That comes from just being exposed to the violence where you just like. You understand me?
So if you're exposed to the drug dealing, the drug using, potatoes being sold, painting, right. Plumbing.
It's going to happen.
It's going to impact who
it's
you are.
It's going to happen, yeah.
And if you're exposed to violence also. So when we look at the level of violence that exists in this country today, you're saying some of that is exposure, direct exposure, not TV and video games necessarily.
Right. The direct exposure is real heavy. You know, it's like even growing up, I would see people that just took a liking into guns, right? I never really had a liking for guns. I just knew at a point in my life, I felt safer and I feel as though I needed one due to the activities that was going on. But I know people that was just like infatuated with guns. It was just like a thing.
That's right.
Like people really, it's like they don't, it's sickening.
It changed their personalities.
Right. It changes everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So talk to me. Okay. We made it to 16, 17. I mean, outside of those things, who else are you? Like, you mentioned being an artist, rap music. Mm-hmm. How did that become important to you? What does that look like and why?
Right. Music for me, it hit me young. I always wanted to make music. Just seeing, like Lil Bow Wow, I would see, like.
Is it Lil Bow Wow, huh?
Yeah, like, I would see. I remember Usher first coming out.
Okay.
Watching Nas. I remember, like, the Hate Me Now video came out, Nas and P. Diddy, I'm just like, wow, I'm like, it was, I just always wanted to be a part of that. And then just, when I came across somebody expressing how they feel, like DMX, when DMX dropped that album, I think Hell Is Hot.
Yeah, that changed everything, man.
It was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was crazy. Like somebody expressing their story. Yeah, yeah, I'm like, this is, somebody give you, goosebumps and things like that. So music always been a thing for me.
I mean,
me.
He had a story, right?
He had a story.
About the conditions that you're referring to.
Yeah, he had a story, man. So it was that, and I was still a kid. But like I said, I was going through things where it was like Christmas may have been thin, right?
Mm-hmm.
School shopping was thin. It was certain things that I really just, I'd be like, this is different.
Yeah, so the music helped you to communicate that.
Music always gave me like that. Just that was like my out.
Yep.
Trying to write my raps.
Who did you look up to? What did you want to be? Who did you want to be? Like what were your goals and dreams when you were coming up?
Only thing, I'm gonna be real, I looked up to anybody that was just like the cool dude, right?
Yeah.
Somebody that was just fly, get dressed. My cousin Dante, he was just, you know, always, you know, getting dressed, things like that. I can't say that it was just like one person that I would just be like, mm-hmm. I want to be like, but it was just like a style.
Okay.
Still trying to find myself and like how
so
do I.
So you don't want
to
be like a fireman or a police officer or, mm-mm. You know, you see kids, a doctor,
nah,
a lawyer.
Nope. Nah. I want to get dressed.
That wasn't even part of it. You wanted to be fly. You wanted to look good.
Yeah, I just wanted to get dressed. It was a point in time in my life where I just wanted to get dressed and just run around a whole bunch of honeys, right? It's just like, get dressed, we got a little car.
Bunch of girlfriends.
And I just want to be that guy in my area. I couldn't even think outside of that.
So you didn't even think about Chicago, L.A., Panama. It wasn't
none
even like that. Wow.
None of that. You talk about catching a flight. We thought that was like, you know, you watch Home Alone. We thinking like, we ain't got that money.
Yeah.
We can't fly.
The whole family was going on vacation. They forgot them, right?
Yeah, we can't fly nowhere. We ain't. That wasn't like.
But our listeners need to hear like the realities that exist in this country and in our community, right? Because there are multiple Americas, and people are just beginning to realize that, man.
Right.
You know, like I think oftentimes, I mean, and that's kind of what you're saying is you think your reality is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the example of catching a flight. I know guys that own airplanes. Like, I could never fathom that coming up. Yes, they own their own airplanes, man.
Right.
Like, and we didn't even know catching a flight was a reality, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking, how do you even do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where you go for that? Wasn't nobody, we wasn't catching no flights.
Wow. You weren't going to New York or Pittsburgh or Philly either?
Just none
down
of
south,
that.
Allentown, down south. Down Allentown, south. Down south.
Down south, Allentown.
Yeah.
That's all I knew. And I'm from I'm like an 8-block radius. I didn't pass 12th Street.
That was your reality. It was those 8 blocks.
I didn't pass 12th Street. I didn't pass 6th Street. I was just in that little.
So now, right, fast forward, and there's a lot we got to go back and cover, but I think about this idea of your community leader and how many youth in our community look up to you and the ways in which you impact not only youth, but parents, you know, grandparents. Like, why is that important to you? What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, what happens is like when the time goes by and you just being yourself. You just doing what you do, right? As a father, as me making music, you never really realize how big of an impact you have on people or how much people pay attention to you, kids.
Mm-hmm.
How many people really look up to you and really be like, yeah, you know, like you kind of make things look easy in a sense.
Doing wrong look easy.
Doing wrong or just even changing your life or just how are you, if that makes sense. So being a community leader is like it's something you gotta witness that like on your own sometimes when you like, wow, I can see the love, right? I see the love. I see when I walk through the door, it's kind of like, you know, the energy is so good that or just even always getting invited somewhere or whatever the case may be. But I just know that like what I say matter, what I do matter. If I go talk to somebody kid or even if somebody call me, hey, can you show up over here and talk to such and such or just the support for my music. When I was doing my release parties, I'm like, wow, I didn't. When I did my first release party, I was kind of nervous because I'm like, I don't even know how it's going to turn out.
What year are you talking?
This might be 2021.
Okay, so not that long ago.
Yeah, this might be two, but this is when I'm like real. This is like the transition of like, you know, me being like in this box and being stuck on what I'm used to. So when I'm making this transition to just like dealing with different people, when
you said a transition from the streets,
yeah, transition from the streets, okay. Yeah, and then being able to call myself a community leader, right, to be able to just, you know, deal with people, engage with people, was like I had to step outside of that box, right? I had to, yeah. So when I had that first release party, it opened up my eyes. I'm like, wow, this is when you think something ain't working, right? I feel like I'm in this little box, but when I drop this project and it's almost 100 people in there and I done made $3,000 off, you know, charging such and such for these tickets. I'm like, wow, this is incredible.
And we're talking about positive people.
This
too,
is, yeah, this is, streets. This is just a mix of everybody in the community that's coming to support and they already listen to it. So when the music's playing, they telling me this, their favorite, this, that. Yeah. And it was dope. You know what I mean? So
it sounds like it felt good, man.
Yeah.
So that inspired you to be and do better, like knowing that people were watching.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And it also just it opened that door and letting me know that, you know, it's okay to engage with others outside of my homies. Mm. Right. Mm. I box everybody out. I don't want to talk to nobody. Mm. For what? I can't. I'm not kicking in with him.
So your world started to expand.
Yeah, my world started to expand. It wasn't. I didn't want to conversate with nobody if it wasn't a way we could just, you know, get some money. I can't build with you about no life because I ain't want to build. I'm
you
just
get
dealing
plane
with.
Yet?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went to Florida, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Plane wise, that's about it.
How was it?
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Puerto Rico was amazing.
Just to see a different world.
Puerto Rico was beautiful. I shot a video out there. I went out there. Me and my homeboy Quill, we went out there.
Shout out to Quill, man.
Yeah, we went out there. I shot a video, actually.
Okay.
And Jack 9, shout out to Jack 9. That's my brother, man. We shot a video in the projects.
In Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico, in the hood.
Those projects right down in the little valley?
No,
there?
Not those. You, okay. You can't.
You're not supposed to enter.
Yeah, you can't just go. Yeah. Even so, the ones we went to was something that we looked at too. Like, wow, it's like when you go different places, you see how more real it is. So when we got to the projects, we couldn't. It was a group of guys out there. We couldn't go right away. We couldn't shoot because they wanted to. They had to double check. So when they double checked and called,
Yeah.
He like, no, they good. And then they let us do
our permission to do
it. They let us do our thing, yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back. We're gonna learn more about Bucks. We're gonna learn more about your vision, about your background, what direction you wanna see this world and your community go.
Yeah.
Do you have vinyl albums, 45s, or CDs on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the donation, and you can claim a tax deduction. For more information, or to arrange for a drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 or visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. You're in the studio with Dr. Batts and PA Bucks. Man, Bucks, it is always beautiful to build with you, to have a conversation with you. Your mind, right? Like your openness, your mind is powerful. I'm glad that our listeners get to hear you. I want to shift now and really talk a lot about your vision. Yeah. You told us what the community and your home looked like for you coming up. You told us how you began to make the transition to community leader. I believe leadership is about vision. It's about pace. It's about things like that. Like, talk to us about I want a clear vision on what you want your community to look like, whether it's that 8-block radius, whether it's your city, whether it's your country, whether it's the world. Draw that for our listeners.
Well, if you don't know, you know, I work for Promised Neighborhood, right? PNLV, and I have a group called Chances and Choices. So I put that together just basically like to be a mentor, big brother program for these young kids that don't have their father figure. They don't even have their mindset, you know, just to build their own character. I had a group of kids not too long ago, and I asked them, you know, when you get out of high school, do you want to go to college? You want to be an entrepreneur? And they like, what's that? They didn't even know what an entrepreneur was. So it's just little things like that. But it's so bigger than just like anything that's financial. I think it's just like the way that they think, you know, how to deal with their emotions. Mm-hmm. And you know how what we always say is just not letting nobody trick you out of your spot. It's important that we think for ourselves and others. And we all go through like trauma, right? We all got these issues that we have, but we got to know how to deal with it. It's important that we heal so that way we can. It's like, you know, it's like a healing circle. You know what I mean? We need to talk about these things, and we can't always put the problem in front of us. We got to like remove it, and we got to like, you know, walk towards the solution. So my whole thing with Chances and Choices is not only for the kids, but just to be there for the parents as well. You know, these parents, they getting off of work 4 or 5 o'clock. They don't even got no time for their kids.
That's right.
They working Monday through Friday. So for me to be able to get with some of these kids from 3 to 7 and give them some game on just life, how they should think, you know, how to manage their money, and you know, just how to carry themselves is I think is so important. It take a community, but we got to link with the parents to connect with the kids, and then, you know, just things like that.
Now, is this a method that you're thinking is like one child at a time, or is this something you want to grow in terms of the mentality?
No, so I wanted to grow. It's not just one child at a time. I wouldn't overwhelm myself. But I got, you know, I would do up to 8 kids, and then of course I got everything organized, and I got some curriculum. It's an 8-week program, okay. Yeah, things like that. So, you know, just like role playing, team building. You know, we have, you know, like the lunch and learns we have. It's the same formula, right?
And that's right.
Nothing changes from what we're doing at Promise, but just the name. If I tell them, just you know, this is we gonna eat and build. You know what I mean? It's gonna be days where we just order some food, we're going to sit down and I'm going to just pick their brain. I want to know what they're going through, what's bothering them, what's their goals, what's their plans, how can we help?
So I always say that when I was coming up, I didn't exist.
Mm.
You know, like you talked about some of the people that you looked up to and what you were exposed to. I didn't have a me. I didn't have a Bucks. My life would have been radically different, I believe, had I had a Bucks.
Right.
Is that what you're seeking to do? Is
exactly.
It giving that leadership, that mentorship, that role modeling?
Yeah, they need it. They need it. You know, it's important, like, My nephew, man, he listens to me, right? I'll tell him something, and then later on I'll watch him do it, and it's important, right? Good kid. Like, I remember telling him, I'm like, listen, it don't matter where you work at. I said, you just got to have a plan. You got to have your exit plan. I said, if you just there working and you ain't got no plan, it's going to feel like you there forever.
That's right.
I said, but the motivation for you to get up out of bed and go to this job is just going to be your mission, right?
That's right.
I said, I'll work anywhere. I'll work anywhere, get my money right, and I can go ahead and move on and get to what I really need to get to. And I remember telling him, I'm like, you might as well just get two jobs. And then he went and got two jobs. You know, just me making music. He wanted to make music. Yeah. He followed behind my steps, but it's because I'm there.
But if you were doing the wrong thing,
if I was doing the wrong thing, he right behind it 100%.
Yeah. How old is he?
He 17. He be 18.
So you breaking cycles in real time.
Right, right. Yeah. And still in the midst of a lot of things that go on. It's like, and that's the scary thing. It's like you can't escape at all. But it's just like having that mind frame of knowing like, it's getting a little sticky. Let me get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. And knowing you're not alone in life, man. Yeah. That he could pick up the phone and call Unc and say, exactly. Yo, this happened. How do I handle it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we made a lot of mistakes. And I'm a little older than you, right? But I think we made a lot of mistakes because we made decisions in isolation or with other people our age. We didn't have elders to turn to.
Right.
You know, so now in my life, I look to the elders, bro.
Yeah.
Even at 49, I call the elders, hey, this is what's going on. How do I manage it? What do I do? Speaking of which, you made me think of something. I had an old head that used to always tell me. He said, you can choose your choices, but you can't choose your consequences.
Mm.
So when you say chances and choices, I think about that. He would always tell me that. You can't choose your consequences, man.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, right? Like, and we think about our lives, yeah. And it's like, you can choose your choices. So what does even the title of the program mean? Chances, what is that? What do you mean by that?
A chance and a choice is like, for instance, right? The first time I got locked up, right, juvenile, I woke up, and I remember it like yesterday. My mom just passed away. I woke up, and I'm like, I should just go to school, right? I'm like, I should just go to school, but I didn't. You know, I went to the block, and I got locked up within like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just left home. I just got there.
Mm-hmm.
I get over there. Everybody's like, oh, you know, it's hot. I'm like, all right, cool. I walk off. They run down on me, right? So that right there is just like that chance and that choice. We got to, like, just like you say, we got to stop. We got to take a minute to breathe.
That's right.
We got to think this thing through. So when you wake up every morning, you got to know, like, listen, I got a chance. Like, I got to, or even somebody that just doesn't have the discipline, right? You got to get up. You got to go to work. You got to make that chance. This is your chance.
This
go to
is
work.
Your shot, man.
Right? Yeah. And if you don't go to work and you lose your crib or you don't get that car that you supposed to get, that's the choice you made.
You got to live with it.
Yeah, so every day we got to, when you get out of bed, you know, we got to remind ourselves this is a chance and a choice. We got to go ahead and do it.
That's
you know
powerful.
What I mean? And even when you're praying, whatever your religion is, whenever you're praying, I believe you got to meet God halfway. He's going to do his part. You got to.
It's not just going to happen miraculously.
Yeah, you can't just pray like, you know, you got to work. You got to, you know what I'm saying? You pray for you know, you get all that good energy in you, around you, and you got to do your part too. So the chance and the choice is just them knowing like, think before everything.
So when you got locked up, you thought about, you reflected and said, this is the choice that I make?
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm sitting in there
and you
like.
You were 15?
15 years old, yep.
Yeah.
15 years old. I'm like, this is crazy.
I could have went to school today.
I could have went to school.
Yeah.
All I had to do was go to, I could have did this later. Like I do in the other day. But so for some reason.
That day.
For that day, I'm just like, let
and
me
you
go
said
ahead.
You just buried your mom.
I just buried my mom. So that was the out I had, her not being there, my grandmother already at work.
Yeah, that supervision.
So now I'm just like, so that's why I always say, you know, the chance and the choice is important. And again, it goes back to these parents that they get home, they son not home. You know what I'm saying? He's not home. He's running around.
Mm-hmm.
She's going nuts. We had a mother that came over to one of the offices, and when she signed her son up, you know, she was just like in tears. She was like, you don't know how much this is going to help. Like, not only does he need this, I need this.
That's right. She needs to know where he is.
It takes a burden off her back. You know what
she
I mean?
Needs to know that he has you.
Right.
I mean, my mother, and today's actually the anniversary of my mother's death, man.
Wow.
But she knew that I needed a Bucks in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it would bring her to tears.
Right.
And this is a strong woman, Mama Bats, but it would bring her to tears. And she's like, I just can't, there's certain things I can't give you. You know, that only a Bucks, only a Quill, only a Mike, only a Kyle could bring to me at 12, 13, 14 years old, man. And how do we inspire more people across our community, more men even specifically, to step into those roles?
Got to knock down that pride wall. That's the number one thing of it all. It's like you got to knock down that wall. And when you really get to just have a conversation with somebody, you realize like, wow, we are so much alike. This dude is all right. We can actually kick it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course you got to create the boundaries, but it's not like we like each, you know, we each other's medicine, right? We all become therapy for everybody.
That's right.
And it doesn't have to be about no money. It don't got to be about none of that. It's just about
humanity.
You know, yeah, exactly. When I kick it with this dude, man, it's just it's greatness. The conversations is deep. We can do more. Period. Just
together.
Just having that conversation. You know, I think we spoke before where it's like, even when we leave from here, you gotta like pull away from a stare off with somebody, right? Before you get a head nod, like, how you doing? Good morning, my brother. Just a stare.
Yeah.
It's insane.
You talk a lot about that, man. You talk a lot about what your life changed when you tore down the wall, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And how like being open and reaching out and connecting with people is the answer for your life, but also for the community, right, in the world.
For everybody, yeah.
You said to tear down that ego wall.
Yeah, because we box each other out.
Yeah. So talk to the introverts, man, because, you know, I'm an introvert. So sometimes I sit in a corner and I have to breathe and convince myself to go like, so how does somebody like that is hard for to connect with people do that?
Well, for one, what made it easier was just like music, right? I had to talk with people, even doing shows or even doing features with anybody or just working with anybody. Mm-hmm. We just got to connect, right? So now, when, like I said, if anybody that I had problems with in the past, once we even got to a conversation where it was like there's no problem, it might have been a night where we ran into each other in the club and we laughed. We joked. It was just like, you know what, you all right, man. You good folks.
Once you got to know them.
Yeah, it's like you good folks. Yeah. We can kick it. You know what I mean? It's all right. It's just like that one of them nights your lady have her come over with her friend and her boyfriend and y'all get to chopping it up. Next thing you know, y'all at Sixers games and
hanging out,
cooking out. Yeah, it's just like you know you got to build. That's how you get ahead in life, man. The relationships is important, and that alone just changed your life. Like I knew you for years, but the moment that I got around you and we started really connecting, your energy rubs off on me. You know what I'm saying? So everything you tell us, you tell me. I don't let it go in one ear and out the other. I take it home. I practice it. I make sure that I just want to be who I need to be for myself, and then I can be who I need to be for others. Like, yeah. I just want to make sure that I come healed, I come sharp as I can be. I want that to be, you know, for everybody around me.
So is it fair to say you're saying that it starts with a conversation?
Yeah, it starts with a conversation, for sure. Handshake, how you doing? Conversation, what's up?
It's a greeting, some kind of acknowledgement.
Yeah, that's it, yep. You know, for years, we just always been in competition. That's like where we come from. It's just everything's a competition, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. We just want to attack each other.
Yeah.
And then you look at the other, and let's call a spade a spade. You look at Hispanics and the Arabs, and they get together. The whole family running one store. And then 5 years later, you see Beamers, Benzes, and four more stores.
So when you say we, you're talking about the black community specifically.
Yes,
the African-American community.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Yeah, okay. We got a big disconnect.
We got 1 minute before we close out. What's the message? What's the lesson? What do you want to leave our listeners with? And you've left us with a lot, right? I'm saying, but in closing, what's the gift? What's the jewel?
In closing, you know me, man. I'm going to say to everybody, you know, a chance and a choice, right? You don't let them choke you out your spot. Waking up is a blessing, and anything after that is just extras. You know, make sure when you saying them prayers, man, you put that work in too. You got to meet God halfway. You got to heal. Right, it's very important, and I get that from my mentors and the circles I'm around. It's like you have to heal. We have to. It's important. We gotta talk about these problems. We gotta do better. We gotta take them days off for ourselves to regroup. It's like everything has to be on the hunt. It's not easy, but you know it's needed.
All right. Well, I'll ask you this as the last thing: when you're in that hole and you're not feeling your best, you're struggling with something. How do you get out?
I go talk about it. You know, I go to my therapy. I go rap about it. I go play some music.
All right.
I play some music and I change my mood. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm solution based.
Music has that power.
Yeah,
right?
Music got that power. Yeah.
You're listening to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Batts. I'm here with PA Bucks. Bucks, as always, it's a pleasure, man.
Always.
We got to bring you back to the show. We got to talk about family. We got to talk about love. We got to talk about, you know, all the other issues that I know are important to you. So we're going to have a part two and possibly a part three to this, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thank you for joining us.
Nah, thank you for having me.
I'm your host, Dr. Hassan Batts.